Welcome to This Week in FX PhD, your weekly wrap-up and behind the scenes at fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to This Week at FX PhD. John McCumber with you, joined as always by Mike. How's it going, my friend?
Very well, sir. Yes. Busily finishing out week five's worth of stuff, ready for break week.
Ready for break week and a trip here to the States. A little strategizing and other things.
Should be good. Had a big Super Bowl since we spoke last, my friend.
It is. Super Bowl here in the States. Again, had record viewers, crazy number of viewers for the Super Bowl. What was it? Off the top of my head, I forget.
It was like, you know, I saw that. It was like
eight gazillion viewers or something?
Well, whatever it was. But the ratings were just numbers. Like over half the sets, you know, it was like 50-something rating. And it was just bigger than it ever had been done before, which is terrific, I guess, but just shows you or reminds you, I guess, what television used to be like when there were sort of less options and why not many people wanted to program any other original material on the same night.
No, exactly.
Not going to get much of a rating.
In today's time-shifting world, there's still, obviously, that, you know, similar to the big sports events and live events are still something where television can have a much wider reach and impact than any other medium still to this day.
The Hollywood Reporter is saying 114.4 million viewers.
Yeah, I was reading.
It's a reasonable rating.
Yeah, I don't know the exact figures, but it slowly climbs over the game, right, to a very high level, especially because it's a close game at the end. But apparently there was the halftime show was also quite popular because it experienced a dip in viewers as after the Katy Perry dip and then slow rise again. So, but obviously a big day for the TV commercials market here in the States. It's a big, the biggest, I would say.
Yeah, because not only have you got a rating of 49.7, but you've got an audience that actually is not waiting for the ads to run out of the room and change channels. you've got an audience that's thinking, hey, I might actually watch this this ad break. And in fact, some people claim, I can't believe this is true, that people tune in more for the ads than the game, but I find that extraordinary. But even if a few view in because of the ads and the game, it's definitely the vibe, isn't it, that this is the Super Bowl of ads.
Yeah, it certainly is. Full disclosure, I was actually out in Colorado seeing my family for the weekend, and we actually had to educate my 9 and 7-year-old nephews to the fact that what is happening in between the game during the commercials is actually quite important today, unlike other times. So,
but Uncle John really wanted everybody to be quiet.
Yes, exactly. And they appreciated it, some of the humor in the commercials. Though there was, I don't know if obviously you've got an article on FX Guide about a couple of the spots, and you've seen the visual effects in many of them. But I don't know if you caught the vibe in reading about stuff, but there was also kind of this overall seriousness in many of the ads that was kind of unexpected and quite a departure from the past, simply in tone from the agency's perspective. I'm kind of curious, and I've read a couple things. I don't really agree with the stuff of why this is and why they've decided to be a bit more serious this year, but it's almost as if that so the agencies got together and decided to make it more serious. I know that's certainly not the case, but something in the water, I guess. But there's obviously still a large number of humorous commercials and visual effects centric commercials.
So in terms of the commercials, we obviously highlighted on FX Guide a couple which were our favorites. In the Masha, Masha, Masha Snickers ad was a nice piece of visual effects work, as well as, I thought, just a runaway hit of a spot. What about you? What did you sort of watch in the game live?
I actually like those as well, very much so. I thought maybe what the grandest scale of visual effects maybe was the Mophie commercial, maybe.
Which one, sorry, John?
The Mophie commercial,
right?
With God at the end. I mean, this is apocalyptic, you know, Earth with, you know, vast discretion scenes, Ferris wheels rolling through the city and thing. It was actually panned by a large segment of the audience here in the States because of the kind of mocking of God at the end of it, I guess. But that one was very, really large scale of visual effects, you know, just massive destruction sequences and atmospheric effects and things like that. That was kind of interesting visually, I thought.
The one that I thought was really interesting that wasn't visual effects, I just killed. I mean, I actually had to check myself that it wasn't a fake, was the BMW ad for the electric BMW with the, Jan, can we just check on what the
The
internet
first
is?
part
Could you
of
explain
that?
the internet? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that an at symbol or an about? I mean, I've seen it. I've never seen it written out. What is the internet? Can we just check on that? I was like, oh my God. It's just
It was very amusing. He didn't even use the term dot com. It was like whatever that
No.
was, something com. You know, that was
Yeah.
how early it was in the day. So.
Yeah. And so what is the email? That's, oh, it's like regular mail. You just send it. It was like, holy dooly. Yeah. I mean, it is really hard to remember that. I showed that to my kids. Like there was a time. Yeah. The other thing that, of course, for us is very significant, not just the visual effects of the ads, but the ads also show the visual effects in upcoming feature films. And so we get sort of a double dip, if you like, because I mean, some of those trailers have been released before, but notwithstanding that, you know, you've got Genesis, the new Terminator, which is particularly interesting for its digital double or digital Arnold work. So that's, you know, really interesting. Historically, Jurassic Park, you know, sort of, I felt jumped the shark a little in about the third one, but that new trailer for Jurassic World looks really good. I love the idea of having trained raptors and going out to sort of kill them, a genetically engineered super. If it's, I don't know, ILM's doing the visual effects. So, you know, it looks like it'll be a cracker.
Yeah, I saw a couple of tweets about how about it's sad that in the last how many years that the 3D has actually gotten worse.
Really? That's
I was
interesting.
like, what? I don't, you know.
Universal had, of course, the Ted 2, which was kind of hard. I mean, I struggle with that whole franchise, I guess. But that being said, I like the work that Allura does on the bear, and they've been working hard on that here, actually, in Australia. So, yeah, so that was another one that was really interesting to see.
Tomorrowland.
And that was going to say Tomorrowland, which has got to be about the most I mean, I have no idea what that's about. Just none. Like what is it? None. Interestingly, a friend at ILM said that that some earlier trailers gave away the whole story, and they ditched those and went for these ones.
Really? Well, because they certainly did not give away the story. I think the story is reviving the Disneyland part of Disneyland here in California that it was kind of left, you know, Tomorrowland installation or something needs a refresh.
All the world caught up. With,
yes.
You know.
Fair enough.
So yeah, I mean, look, I think that Tomorrowland looks particularly interesting because of the visual effects, because it's got some fine actors in it. And I was so dismissive of Pirates of the Caribbean as being, what, they're going to make a film out of a ride? That's going to be lame. That I now hold my powder dry before declaring a film. I mean, I get them wrong quite regularly. I look at things. I would not be any good as a studio executive. You want to do what? You want to make a film about the, what are you, nuts? No one's going to want to watch Guardians of the Galaxy. It's got a raccoon in it. Yeah, so I'm not a good studio executive. I'm pretty good, I reckon, at judging visual effects. Not very good at predicting what films will be great. But the other one that is of immense interest to me is Universal's release of Fast and Furious 7 or whatever it is, because of the digital double work in replacing, God, his name escapes me, the actor that died, unfortunately, in the car accident, which is a really tragic death. But he is in the film, the actor played parts in the film before he passed away and then is augmented with different versions of him that are, or scenes that couldn't, you know, be shot around. So that'll be really, really interesting. So there's both in that and the Terminator, some very interesting digital double work and digital human work, which I think will be fascinating.
You're speaking, of course, of Paul Walker.
Thank you. Sorry,
it,
I just
it
completely
was actually,
blanked.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, he was... killed in a real car accident.
And it was very sad that he died, but and you know, there's many ways that they could have gone. I don't have any ethical problem if his family doesn't have an ethical problem
right.
with them completing the film. I don't know what you think.
No, I think I would, you know, if a family member signed on for that, I would assume that they would want to finish or want to have it finished. And yeah, I think it's, I'm sure they have the support of the family in that. So yeah, that will be very interesting to see.
I heard some good stuff about the Lexus ads in terms of the rendering of the digital cars and stuff. But I've got to say, I'm interested. You're talking about the perspective from just the local audience. Does anybody just think that this is a phenomenal, great bunch of ads with a huge number of incredibly sexist things going on in them?
This year?
Well, every
Far
year.
less so. Far less this year, I think, actually.
I mean,
In fact, that one of the comments was enough of the sad thing. Let's bring back the sexist ads. I actually
really?
think no, yeah. I mean, actually, in jest, I think, or a bit sarcastic in that way. But I actually believe, and I could be wrong, but my gut from watching that was there were far fewer that they had the Victoria's Secret commercial. But what I mean, what is Victoria's Secret after all? It wasn't a GoDaddy spot. But I felt that there were far fewer of those, Mike, than there have been in the past. That's all.
There was a spot of this girl walking around looking like she was being possibly naked, but she wasn't. It was just like a Austin Powers type gag reel thing of her behind melons and stuff. Anyway, the point is at the end of this ad, she takes this bite from this burger, whoever makes the burger makes the ad. So it wasn't meant to be sarcastic, but or even comical. But oh my God, the burger was like the size of her head. No
Yeah,
way
was
do
that
you look
Carl's
like that.
Jr.? I
I
think
think
that was
so.
a
I mean,
local. Yeah, it was. Yep, that was certainly the case. I saw that on it. Saw that
and I'm
preview
thinking
of it.
no one in their right mind who looks like that eats that. I mean, there's just and then I would have loved to have been on something that, okay, so I want you to take a bite of this huge thing. Yeah. Okay. I don't think I can get my mouth around it. And like if you look at it looks like she's just stuffing her face. And I mean that like she's punching herself in the face with a burger to try and get it in her mouth. And I'm like, hello, people, portion size. I mean, yeah. I think it's all about being authentically not, using preservatives and blah, blah, blah. But all I got out of it was,
Was
good Lord.
no supersizing.
Oh my, it was embarrassing to watch. I tell you what I do think. I think McDonald's was super clever with their idea of a pitch for the
That was interesting, I
Valentine's
thought.
Day. Yeah. Because it takes it to post the ad.
I actually like watching them as well with non-industry folks. So this is the kind of first year that I did that where I was the only person, and they were somewhat mocking me with my comments about them after it because no, we just really liked that spot. And that was a series that they actually really liked, Mike.
Yeah, and but I mean, everybody now would accept that the Super Bowl ad doesn't have to be the end of the campaign. I mean, it is, what, $4.5 million an ad or something, but like when they then lead to something else, you're springboarding off that huge ad spend into something. And I'm not a big McDonald's fan per se, as you probably gathered from the hamburger comment, but nevertheless, it seemed like a really good idea that people that actually turn up on Valentine's Day at a McDonald's store may get their meal for free, but they're not doing that by just a giveaway, which does nothing for the brand. They're doing it by, you got to pay with a hug or phoning your mother or whatever it is, which, of course, all of those things are good emotional tie-ins that then link through to the brand. So I'm not, like, just from a marketing point of view, it seemed like a good play.
A much better play in, as opposed to the companies that spend their entire ad budget for one year on one commercial. Seems to be less of that now, but boy, remember the dot-com days, that was certainly the
Oh,
case.
yeah. But wasn't there a company that made car liners or mats or car mats this year or
Yeah,
something?
there was a CarMax ad, yes.
And like,
It
is that a
seemed
big
markedly
market in the
out of
US?
place. Apparently so. I guess I just
Huge aftermarketing.
I had heard of them, but no, not a big one. Another one that was a small one that I thought was funny was the one for Loctite, which is kind of a
Yes.
super glue of sorts. And
Yes.
I actually give them more props than some of the other ads for at least catching the attention of people and showing the product in action.
Well, of course, I
But
like the avocados ad from Mexico with the Australia gets first pick
But
and
then
it's
she was a
kangaroo.
kangaroo. Yes, exactly.
It's like, go
Yeah,
Australia.
that was
Not that
quite
you have a
amusing.
stereotypical view of my country or anything, but
No, that was not the best first pick.
now,
Anyway.
in the group that you're watching with, can I just, this got nothing to do with effects. In the
Yeah.
group you're watching with, what do they think of the Dove Men Care ad, the dad one? And then following on from that, the Dance or Run Like a Girl ad.
Like both of them.
Really, because here we got feedback that in the States, a bunch of guys were kind of offended by the Run Like a Girl ad. And I thought it was a bit of a beat up by our press. But the theory was that a bunch of Americans who were watching the football said, well, you're just being patronizing to me that you know, if I said run like a boy, fight like a boy, I wouldn't, yeah, anyway, I didn't know if it was a beat up at our end, but it sounds like it was. So there
you go. A little bit, no. But, you know, they again, enjoyed it. I think the takeaway from mine was that I think it was just the overall tone. That was, again, the takeaway apart from the nephews. the tone was that there were some very serious ad or more serious ads as part of the Super Bowl than in the past. So
I gave a lecture on this in Background Fundamentals, but my problem with the Dove ad is while I, you know, virtually teared up over the images of being called dad, you could have cut any logo on the end.
Yes.
Been an ad for anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it would have sold product. It would have been the dad ad. Do you know what I mean? Like it wouldn't have. The avocado ad, the punchline was the avocados. Mexico picks the avocados.
And to so my point about Loctite as well. You knew that was that. I mean, as silly as it was.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, when you have these ads that are just a montage of family dad moving heart things, and it suddenly goes to, you know, insert brand here, I'm concerned whether that actually has any kind of payback for the huge amount of money these guys spent. Do they get tickets to the Super Bowl if they like buy an ad for 4.5?
No, I think it's totally separate.
Okay.
Yeah, it's because TV network pays for the contract for the NFL. So, so my offensive ad of the Psycho Sad was the one for the Chevy where the broadcast went out. And
oh, you didn't like that?
No. I'm like, we really need people driving around watching the Super Bowl. That's what we need, more distracted drivers. So that was
I thought you were saying that you didn't like it because it looked like your cable had gone out.
No, I didn't like the premise of driving around in your car watching the Super Bowl or watching anything as you're driving around. Not really, anyway. So that's my bicyclist activist hat on there. But so what ad do you think got the Clio for the Super Bowl? There was a kind of first ever creative bowl.
Right. I don't honestly know. I think Snickers will have really high recall. I guess we're leaving the trailers out of it. Let's see what else. I actually think Lockett probably would have created quite a lot of memorable kind of whatever. I'm going to go with Snickers, I think. Yep.
Ding, 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 ding. You must have worked in the advertising industry with creatives. Yeah, so, yes, it was certainly Snickers ended up with the top spot.
Right.
So to speak.
Interesting.
Yeah. Other ones were the Like a Girl spot, the nomore.org about domestic violence, and Loctite.
Right.
So those were the three.
Same thing?
Loctite glue, sorry, is right. The goofy one.
So it's not Lockett?
No, Loctite.
Okay. I know neither of
which I have brands. To say I endorse. It really works right. Just used it on my gas cap the other day. So
okay.
Anyway, but yeah, it was fun in general. Enjoyed watching it with middle of the road, middle America, I guess you could say, family, and they and my father who. Had a tough time with some of the contemporary humor jokes, I guess, understanding some of them, but ads not targeted to that market, I guess, in general. You're going to aim your ad lower, I believe, to a lower demographic when you're targeting them, I would think.
Do you think it was surprising there weren't more games advertised? Like, I expected there'd be at least a couple of major title games in there, because there was, like, what, five major films?
Yeah.
There was an early video game, no, like a an app game.
The Clash of Clans one was amusing with Liam Neeson doing a voiceover playing
it. I did not see that.
Yeah, it's actually basically it cuts to him doing kind of a very serious Liam Neeson voiceover, dramatic reading of it.
Right.
And kind of zooms out slowly from him. You realize he's the guy playing the game. And then the guy at Starbucks goes, Liam? He's like, Liam. Anyway, it was a cute spot. But yeah, Clash of Clans was the one. But yeah, you're right. Maybe not time for the release. I think a lot of those end up coming around release time, I think maybe. Though some of the PlayStation ones have been running pretty heavily in the holiday season. I guess that's another thing. My guess is they spend a lot of their budget going into December, hoping to pump sales up. Maybe that's why.
Is this still
That's just guess.
dominated by Budweiser? Like, I always remember Bud Bowl and Bud and stuff was just the thing. It was
Not
like
like it
the
has been
beer.
in the past. No,
No?
no.
And is that a reflection of you and your mates buying too many craft beers? Has it
Yes. So, do you
declined?
know they actually did the? Do you know that Budweiser actually did an anti-craft beer ad, which I missed. I have not seen it actually. I was curious. You can nail me on. And I'm like, I haven't seen it, but yes, they actually did one where they were mocking craft beer.
Right, because for those of you that don't know, dear listeners, John Montgomery is somebody that would treat a good craft beer, a good wheat beer, the way that some people would treat a really good oh, I don't know, in my case, dessert Sauternes
Yeah, so
wine.
that was second to the distracted driving ad as my inappropriate and offensive ad. It was Budweiser's anti-craft beer.
Yeah, you didn't even see it, and you're offended by it.
There was an
You're offended by the
incredibly
notion of it.
cute lost dog ad that Budweiser did with the Clydesdales, the horses. And especially hit home in our household because their puppy was hit by a car a couple months ago that was a dead ringer for the puppy in the commercial. So, yes.
Here's something interesting that I learned during the week. Can I swing this back on
Yes.
topic for a second?
Yes.
So I was researching. We've got an upcoming piece I'm doing on V-Ray, and we've been looking at stuff in to do with faces, both for FX PhD, but also for FX Guide. But I've just done this thing on motion of capture of faces. The UCAP system, the Universal Capture System, and MOVA both got SciTech awards, so they're in this week's or last week's FX PhD background fundamentals class. Okay, so one of the things that came up out of that was why it was that in the Matrix sequels, the characters didn't so look so good when they were further away from camera. The early, the big punch thing, you know, where Agent Anderson gets his face kind of matched, looked really pretty good, but the characters, you know, further away didn't look so good. And it came out that one of the reasons that was identified very early on by those guys, but only very recently solved, or is even in the, you know, process of being solved right now, is a sampling problem to do with mipmaps and the way that it deals, especially with specular highlights as things move further away. And so I discuss this in the class and give some examples of how that is. But it basically means things look faker further away due to the way that the sampling happens. This thing about the sampling is something that I've been investigating. And so I started thinking, well, I should discuss it with some of the render companies as well as other people, because I know that it's solved partially in games with a thing called lean sampling stuff. And I was pinging around. So we're separately doing this other thing on V-Ray. And I was speaking to Vlado, who's one of the founders of V-Ray. And we started discussing this. And in fact, they had exactly the same problem on car paint. You know the metallic stuff in car paint? The specularity of that changing as the cars move further away from camera. And they had to implement a special solution. So if you were to use V-Ray's car shader, which in fact I think has been used in several of the car spots, because a lot of the cars in these ads are digital, but they're photorealistic. I mean, it's really hard to tell. But to get that level of realism on the spec highlights, the pings, which is of course what a car maker wants on their car. The V-Ray shader has to deploy this very, actually quite computationally expensive sampling solution. And in that part of the program, not the whole thing overall, it's like multiple times more complicated, like many, many, many times slower, just for this small part of the algorithm to solve it properly. But it's what allows them to get the car paint looking so realistic. So, and of course, I don't know exactly which companies use which V-Ray renderer, but let's say you have a car that's in got those classic pings that you get off a great car with the metallic paint and stuff, with the sun on it and stuff. They were just breaking up and not anti-aliasing properly in the distance, and so they solved it very explicitly. So it's a really interesting area for me when you sort of discover these things, and then you start connecting the dots and say, okay, well, that's a problem that these guys identified that's been solved over here that is being separately solved by a completely different route for a completely different reason. And so I hope to find out more about that. In fact, if anyone else knows more about that, why don't you send me an email, because it's one of the things I'm currently investigating. And I put the word out in case anyone was interested in it. I might follow up with a later background fundamentals if it turns out there's some more interesting stuff there. But it's yeah, it's something I was very unaware of prior to starting down this path.
Yeah, interesting. Pretty interesting.
You don't tend to think of something inside the renderer being so specific to, you know, something like that. But the example we give of this teapot and like how the spec just makes it look like plastic, which is, of course, not what you want from a face. And, of course, the specularity at skin level is what gives you the definition. The diffuse gives you the, waxy human feeling of the skin, which mm-hmm. plays very strongly up close. But if you go back, what you want is the way that the spec reacts, which is also something else we've discussed in Background Fundamentals. And I think you and I have discussed this idea that you use very, very high res textures, even though you can't see the textures. They did this on Michael Jackson when he was recreated recently, because those very high textures cause the specular to look different. And that specular looking different makes it look more realistic, even though you can't see the texture, you see the result on the spec. So some real subtle stuff there, but we're at that point, aren't we? I mean, to get stuff over the line, we're not talking about the big low-hanging fruit now. We're talking about getting these things right, and it's amazing when you don't get them right how they look fake. I mean, really quite oddly, thus. Same lighting, same everything. You just move the character back and it starts looking plastic.
Yeah, very much so. Very interesting. I also found it interesting, some of the stuff too, that, this is somewhat related, but the idea of, for the sicker spot, that they didn't actually go with any kind of crazy 3D tracking CGI head replacement or anything like that. They went pretty old school.
Yeah, that was good. That was interesting, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, I think Ian did a really good job writing that story up on FX Guide. I found that fascinating. And I thought the other thing that was really fascinating, I didn't think about it at the time, is just things like how much they built of the real set.
Yeah.
And where they decided to put that line. Like the staircase, they built the staircase very accurately, but only in terms of stuff that thing on the stairs would touch. Like the table, the desk, obviously, needed to be real because you wanted to slam an axe into it. But Steve up on the staircase, they really got the as much as they possibly could, right? And then, of course, dropped in behind him the actual set.
The actual one, yeah.
Yeah, those lines are hard lines to call because you're in pre-production trying to work out, Do I need a fireplace behind him? Can I roto that? Should I green screen that? At what point do you track and change?
Yeah.
I also thought it was funny how close they got the wardrobe for the stand-ins, like the girl who did the sneakers.
I love that.
The Marsha stand-in.
Yeah.
I got to play Marsha's body double.
Yeah, that was very cool. But yeah, I appreciated the low tech approach, I guess you could say. Very high tech, but low tech in comparison to doing a full facial replacement or something like that.
Did you know that the actress that played Marsha is currently in Australia? Well, no, she's not in Australia. I shouldn't say that. She's in an Australian television show called "I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here," which is
she's English, on that.
English viewers would know is huge in England. Is it in America?
I know it from seeing it when I've been down there on a visit. That's, yeah.
Well, no, you wouldn't have seen it here because it only just started. What happened is No. You saw it in England, because this is the weird thing. In England, they send the celebrities to Australia for the "I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here." By the way, the term celebrity is incredibly generous.
That's what I thought. Right. Okay, okay.
So in Australia, we don't want to send our Australians to another part of Sydney or Australia, because it'd be like, well, they're just over there in the National Forest. That doesn't seem very... So we have to send our celebrities, and I use that term advisedly, to Africa.
Okay.
To be, "I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here." Now, having done about 10... I mean, they had John Lydon, like Johnny Rotten from the, ex-Sex Pistols, on the English one, sent to Australia. And about halfway through, he just walked out. I mean, just literally
too much.
Walked off the set. But anyway, so we sent out, quote, celebrities to Africa, and apparently weren't enough Australian celebrities, so they got the actress that plays Marsha, and so she has been dropped in Africa as part of the Australian, she must be there now, because I think the big thing about this is that they do it kind of live, so it evolves as it evolves. I think that's one of the, I don't watch the show, but I think that's one of the hallmarks of the concept, and that in Australia, therefore, the time zone was right, that during the day, that was their night kind of thing, and it all kind of worked. But,
Well, I kind of need to go, and, it's a bit off top, but so it's not as good as Survivor? I envision it as, I don't mind it being admitting I actually like Survivor. I think as a show that's produced, and for what it is, it's really well done. It's cream of the crop after all these years. But my perception of "I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here," other than the fact they're not really celebrity, is that it's a Celebrity Survivor.
Yeah.
No.
It is to Survivor what Sponge Pants Square, whatever it is to the
Okay.
Godfather trilogy.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Whereas Survivor has enormous production value
Right.
and everything works and it's really well filmed and it's ingeniously, as we know from our courses at FX PhD, digitally removes microphones. And,
Yes.
yep. This is sort of more like, gosh, I've got a handy cam. I'll just point it at this celebrity who's walking around with mud on them. That'll be funny. Kind
Right.
of level with a couple of people in the trees sort of going, and they're over there now and they don't have anything to eat. Isn't that funny? Let's watch them look
So closer to
miserable.
that one in the house, Big Brother or whatever, I guess. Seems closer to that then.
Yeah, I mean, I think Big Brother is probably at a, you know, rom-com level, you know, like you go Godfather, rom-com, and then,
Okay.
and then SpongeBob SquarePants. So, yeah, so I think, yeah, there's like, no, not no, not worth, I'm not recommending anyone watch it. I'm just commenting. Marsha happens to be on our screens a lot right now.
And in a story and effects guide.
Yes, yes.
All right, my friend.
Were
Well,
you, after Marsha or fancied
Marsha,
Jane?
Marsha.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. It's a bit like that whole thing from Red Dwarf, right? When he goes, would you go out with Betty
yeah. yeah.
or what was it? Wilma. It's like, well, you'd go out with Betty, but you'd be thinking of Wilma. On that note, I guess we should say goodbye.
No, no. Okay, what about you?
What about me?
You didn't really watch it, right? You didn't watch it when you were young enough, did you?
The Brady
did have,
Bunch?
Did they do syndication?
Yeah.
Back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm talking Brady Bunch, Gilligan's Island.
Okay.
Is that one? The Prison
Okay,
Camp?
So the same question to you. No, changing the same question to you before we close out.
Marsha wasn't my type. I think.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
I.
It was Mrs. Brady.
She was a babe. Alice. Now there was a woman. Give me a woman and I. Well, foxy devil.
All right. Well, for our next DOD, we will be together in person.
Are we going to be, because now we skip break week?
Oh, it is break week. Yeah.
Should we do a special?
Yeah, we'll do a special one. Special. Yeah. We'll go have a pint somewhere and record it.
Maybe we could.
On the beach.
Get a pint.
Something
Jeff,
like that.
That would be.
Yes. Yes. Let's do that. Okay. That sounds like a great idea. All right, my friend. I'll see you shortly. And thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.